Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Another great Monday show for you today. And second hour, Dr. George Delgado will be here for an open forum, a pro-life open forum. If you've got questions that have to do with the beginnings of life, the ends of life, anything, any ethical issues having to do with medicine, he is the man for you. So you'll want to be here for that hour. This hour, well, Rose Sweet is here with us, and the author of many books, including Healing the Divorced Heart, a devotional, Rebuilding After Divorce. She created a very widely used DVD series called The Catholic's Divorce Survival Guide. Is it still called that?
No, that's the old name. The new name is Surviving Divorce.
Surviving Divorce.
It's shorter.
Yeah. Rose, thanks for being with us today.
I love being here.
I'm still adjusting to the time change.
Yeah, so you were in Alabama.
I was in Alabama, and I had a great time in Alabama. I had the best biscuit I've ever eaten in my life in Alabama.
Mm.
And that's among other things. But for me, always the food is the prime.
Yeah. So it was real buttery and flaky.
It was just from Alabama, and it was really
good. Last time we were talking about donuts. Now, here we are on biscuits.
And we were talking about donuts.
And somebody brought us donuts.
And then Kathy Stone, who was listening in the car, brought us donuts.
Keep talking.
Yeah, Kathy, I love biscuits. But you probably can't get biscuits that good here. I don't know, here in California. Maybe somebody. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the holidays and divorce families and how to survive the holidays. And if you are not a member of a divorced family, probably somebody you're going to see during these holidays has gone through that. And as a good Christian person, you're going to want to respond properly. And is it a minefield, or is it it's just a difficult thing to be divorced, both for husbands and wives and for children of divorce at the holiday time.
It's horrible because, you know what they say, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
And when your family has fallen apart, it's not the most wonderful time of the year. And so it's just a constant salt in the wound kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then parents and families who are going through this, then they try to desperately cling on to the holidays as a balm to the bleeding wound and try to, you know, make it over the top this year or make up for the divorce by buying the kids a million things. And it just gets crazy.
Yeah. 888-31-TRUTH is our number if you'd like to speak with Rose about that. 888-318-7884. Maybe a sibling has gone through divorce. Maybe you yourself have gone through a divorce. Maybe you are the child of divorce. The thing about a divorce is it's become such a commonplace now. Marriage is so much under assault, and so it's brutalized, really. Marriage is brutal, and people often end feeling brutalized by their experience in marriage, that none of us are likely exempt from this. I mean, it's of our family, our friends, even if we have not gone through it ourselves.
Right. We know somebody who's going through it, or maybe – and here's the sad thing. Attorneys will tell you that the greatest number of filings for divorce happen in January, right after the holidays.
Oh.
Because some people can't bear to file for divorce and ruin that for their family. So even after the holidays is bad.
Oh.
It is brutal.
Yeah. All right. So how about some tips from you? I mean, what are the things that we should be thinking about? Whether the family sometime earlier this year went through a divorce or is a divorce is imminent in the family, about getting through the holiday season?
Well, okay, so we're going to address the people who are going through it and then the people who love them and work with them or live next door to them or whatever. Okay, so I remember, I'll never forget, I love Christmas. I go all over. And after divorce, I couldn't, it was the first year in my life, I couldn't even buy a tree. I didn't want one decoration in my house. It wasn't like me, and people are going, oh, what's wrong with Rose? You know, it's been months, and I just couldn't. I froze up in emotions, and I went into depression, and I pretty much slept through Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I was thanking God it was over the next day. The next year, I was back to normal. But I felt ashamed and guilty that I couldn't get into the holiday spirit, but I just kept praying, and I tried to draw close to our Lord, and I went to Mass. And I realized I just needed to give myself permission to do that year.
It does. It's striking that the period between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, I guess, it's this, like you said, most wonderful time of the year and all that. But it also, it hits us as kind of a burden. Like you have to do that. And you don't really have to.
No, but here's the thing. You know, if you want one biscuit and mm-hmm. it tastes so good, then you automatically want five biscuits.
You know me well.
That's Rose. Right. And so anyway, so Christmas is so wonderful and we love it. And it's so warm and loving and everything. Then we want to have it perfect and we want to extend it into September. And then we want to have 10 parties and we want to buy more gifts. I mean, we just, it's that addictive nature, you know, that we're trying to fill that hole again. So divorce, as horrible as it is, can jolt you out of that sometimes and make you go, you know what, I need to prioritize mm-hmm. my life and what this holiday is all about and pull way back and really enjoy it on a whole different level.
888-318-7884, our number. This is Catholic Answers Live. Today we're talking about divorce and families going through divorce or having been through divorce around the holidays. And it's not just for divorced people this hour, because we will, well, most of us know somebody who's going through that, is in that situation, whether a neighbor, a friend, a family member. 888-318-7884 if you would like some advice on navigating that. So I'm a grandparent of divorce or something like that. What are the things that I need to be sensitive to?
Okay, that's a great question. You know what? Just babysit. You know, give mom or dad a night out to go buy presents or to just get out and have a glass of wine with their friends or whatever. Babysitting, taking the kids in and having a good time with them, taking some of the burden off. Encourage, just listening and encouraging somebody. And maybe even telling your daughter or your son, you don't need to send out Christmas cards this year to those 300 people on your list. Or, I'll do it for you this year.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at what the person is, you know, going through and what's stressing them out and see how you can help.
And what about the children themselves? What do they need it?
Oh, okay. Just in general, we know that kids need the stability of a loving family, and they've lost that in the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for security, and they're looking for rituals and routines is what gives kids safety. You know, go to bed at the same time, get up at the same time, do the same things, helps them, especially in a time of trauma. So I always say to sit down and look at what you do for the holidays and invite the kids into the conversation. Okay, kids, we're going to have to cut back this year. But what do you really like to do? Oh, let's get rid of going to grandma's. She makes us eat those horrible cookies. Okay, we're not going to go to grandma's this year. And you laugh about it or whatever. We're going to invite grandma over one night.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, have the discussion and say, kids, what do you love about Christmas? What do you love? And what do you want to keep?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's reasonable and within the budget, then do that. You know, but make it everybody in the discussion so the kids feel like their whole world isn't really falling apart.
Yeah, yeah. What about the person who feels a sense of failure in some way? And maybe, I mean, this is a holiday, especially Christmas. Well, Thanksgiving is difficult because it's hard to be thankful when things have fallen apart. And maybe you go to the family event, and maybe you're one of those families where everybody's got to say something they're grateful for this year. I'm grateful that I will now not have to say this for another year or something. I don't know. But the thing about Christmas then is it's all about Jesus, and maybe I feel like I let him down somehow.
Well, and maybe you did. And that's what the sacrament of confession is all about. You know, every case is different. And if you're not the person going through divorce, you're the family member or friend. Don't try to judge or give advice, especially at this time of year. Just because every situation is so unique. Just be present. There's the word present. Just be present. You know, listen, love, and then let go of all that other stuff.
888-318-7884. We're talking divorce, family, and the holidays with Rose Sweet, who knows these things very, very well. This is your bailiwick.
It is my bailiwick.
Yeah.
I'll never forget one year my stepson opened 10 million presents. The family was trying to make up for his poor, lost childhood and divorce and everything. He got so many presents, it was obscene. And I'll never forget when he was done with the last one, he seriously looked up and said, "Is that all?"
Oh, wow. What do you think that was about?
He was becoming entitled. He was now expecting all this extra attention and all this focus and all these gifts and all getting his way all the time.
Right.
And I went, whoa, this can't be good. This has to go back. So here's one tip. Baby Jesus got three presents.
Yeah, I know.
Do our kids need more?
Right. Are they more important than the Lord and Savior come among us?
Exactly.
Somehow we, right. I suppose there's a way in which, and maybe this is what you're saying, that we maybe overcompensate where we feel that we have done, where we've hurt the child or we've failed them in some way.
And we probably have failed or hurt the children, but that's not the issue for the holidays right now. It is, what do the kids need most? And they need me to contain my emotions the best I can, to not be, you know, talking about this the whole time, and to be creating a low-key, stress-less, loving, fun time that's focused on Christ.
Your calls for Rose Sweet on marriage, divorce, family, and the holidays, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett from Catholic Answers Live, and as we head down the stretch toward the end of the year, Catholic Answers is kicking off the annual winter sale in their online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount in addition. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout in our newly redesigned shop and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 17, Jesus said, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through which they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin." But he also said, "If your brother wrongs you seven times a day and returns to you saying, 'I'm sorry,' you should forgive him. If the one who has caused one of his little ones to sin says he's sorry, then the millstone will be set aside and he'll be forgiven. God's love is greater than any evil. Often when a great sinner repents, he attains great holiness. St. Paul says, 'Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more.' We need grace to be faithful. We need grace even to want grace." I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest this hour, and we're talking about kids, divorce, and the holidays. Rose, you were saying to me something at the break that I would like to explore a little bit with you, and that has to do with splitting the day for kids between parents on Christmas.
I have been through this, and I learned something. Okay, so here's a typical Christmas day. You get up, you have breakfast, you open presents, you got Bing Crosby on the radio, whatever. It's all wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you look out the window, and there's the other parent honking the horn. It's noon, and now you got to, like, bundle up Junior, and he wants to take this present, and no, you're fighting about this, and all of a sudden, then he's gone. He's driving away, and so your Christmas day is just like, And I thought, you know what? What a beautiful gift it would be, even though you have the court order that says you can pick him up at noon. What a beautiful gift to say, you can have Christmas Eve, you can have all of Christmas Day and Christmas night, and I won't come to get the child or the children until the day after Christmas. Mm-hmm. And the next year, I will have those two or three days. it works way better. And I think a lot of parents at first resist it. No, no, because I have to have Christmas morning or I have to have Christmas Eve. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Right, right.
Let the child be with the other side of the family and enjoy those grandparents and those relatives without this being torn in part like Solomon's baby. And there's how we put our religion into our relationships.
Yeah, really, it's sacrificing. It really is sacrificing for that parent, but it's for the child to let them have the most stable, peaceful Christmas that they can have.
Exactly, and be generous to the other parent, not just for the child, but even though you can't stand the other parent, give them a gift. That's what Christmas is all about. Even though you don't feel like it, give it. Be generous.
Right. So. Would you advise in that family maybe, okay, so if the mom is going to have the children for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day under your scenario, maybe dad would get them for the Thanksgiving, the whole Thanksgiving or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, you can work that out. But don't try to cram everybody in and split this whole thing in half. It's just, it's hard, it's really hard on the kids. Now, the kids will tell you, we like it because we get twice as many presents and more parties and everything, but... Yeah. They still get that. They get 2 weeks off for Christmas, so they still get all that stuff.
Right. 888-318-7884, our number. Rose Sweet, our guest. We're talking kids, the holidays, and divorce, and every single line's lit up. So shall we go to calls?
Let's go.
David in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Hello, this is David. I have more of a comment than I have a question.
Hi, David.
David, your comment.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, when I got divorced, it naturally it was rough, and I didn't have any children at the time. And what was very comforting to me was that I went to Mass on Christmas Day, and any difficulty that I had just moved away because I knew that's where I needed to be at that moment in time. You know, not feeling sorry because the marriage broke up and you know, and all that other pain that comes with it. When I went to morning Mass, I realized that's where I needed to be at that point in time, and that made all my troubles go away.
Mm. Rose?
That's beautiful, David. Yes, you know, you put your own pain to the side to put Jesus present to you and to worship him and to thank him for everything that's good. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
And when you said that about one parent just allowing the other parent to have the kids for the whole Christmas day, to allow those kids to have a settled, that you could, and as the parent who's kind of alone then, go to Mass, do those things that adults are able to do, give yourself permission to have Christmas Day be more an adult Christmas for you.
Right. And the first time it might be difficult, but you'll get used to it. And the one thing is, too, if you're going to go to the children's Mass on Christmas Day where everybody, you know, all the families are all there and that's going to drive you into deep depression, then go to the early morning Mass where all the old folks are. Or, you know, be smart about it. Go quietly before the Lord and be present to him.
David, thanks very, very much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. I just want to share with you Timothy on Facebook. Maybe thinks we shouldn't be talking about this, saying, I thought divorce was against Catholic doctrine. Does that give you any pause to talk about divorce and surviving it through the holidays?
Divorce is something that the Catholic Church recognizes is horrible, and it affects the family and the children and the whole culture. And she does not want divorce. God in Scripture says he hates divorce. We all know that. But the Catholic Church also understands that people get civilly divorced, and the church can't stop people at this time. But she's here to help us through that, and she's here to remind us that if you've gone through a civil divorce, you're still married in the eyes of the church, and we will help you with that. We will help you navigate those uncomfortable, difficult waters. And I don't want to bring up the whole annulment issue in this time today, but also that is a possibility. Some people had a permanent flaw from the beginning that couldn't be overcome. But regardless of your situation, the church really is here to help.
Well, what about people who may feel scandalized by the fact that David, a divorced man, is talking about going to Mass and being with the Lord? And many people remain to this day confused about whether or not you can go to Mass if you're divorced.
Well, okay, this is a good time to remind everybody that this is what the church teaches, is that civil divorce, although it's horrible, may not be your fault, and you're not in a state of grave sin because of that. And so anybody that's free from serious sin, should receive Holy Communion, receive all the sacraments. But if you're in the state of serious sin, let's say you had the affair, or you were just a mean, horrible person who was very abusive, and you're the cause of the divorce, well, you need to get to confession. Even though
you
haven't
can do that.
Yes.
You can do that. You haven't, there's not some sin on that's just unforgivable here. I mean, you can go to confession and return to the sacraments and as a divorced person.
And we know the church has always taught the only unforgivable sin is completely turning your back on God. Mm-hmm. And 99.9999% of us don't ever really do that. So yes, get yourself back to the Lord in confession and get a clean slate.
And the especially our current Pope, maybe not especially, but certainly our current Pope has encouraged us as Catholics to not be in a false isolation, but to be where people actually are, that the church needs to be where people are. And the fact is many, many, many families have suffered divorce or are suffering now divorce.
And that's why go to www.catholicsdivorce.com to get information on what the church teaches and free resources and maybe where your parish is offering some support groups and whatnot.
Sandra, in Hamburg, New York, you are on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Yeah, it's more of a comment. When I first left my son's dad, I started going to a group, and it was actually right around Christmas time. It was 2 months before Christmas that I left. And I was that new mom that bought gifts and labeled them, like, from mom. And I also bought him gifts, like, from dad as well. And my son wasn't even a year old. But it was like you feel like you have to compensate for both parents. And one of the girls in our group was like, she used to always do that. But then the kid grew up thinking, oh, you know, either mommy did A or daddy did A. So one of the things I kind of almost wanted to maybe just kind of bring up in case people are newer to this like I was, don't necessarily worry about being the hero in everything. Just kind of worry about yourself and what you can do for your son or your daughter or whatnot. So that was an advice thing that I was hoping might help somebody out. As for me personally, I was hoping to get a little bit of advice about people that may invite themselves over to see a child that's in a situation like that, where you want them to be part of the holidays, but at the same time, too, you kind of need your own time to yourself with your family for healing or whatnot. So that was something I wanted to reach out and get some advice on for that.
Sandra, those are great comments. And I think whether you're divorced or not, we all need to know how to navigate with friends and relatives who want to impose themselves on our holiday schedule. And that's knowing that you're in charge and it's your life and you can say no in a loving way. So I would say yes. If you want to spend Christmas by yourself this particular year with your children, that's great. And you shouldn't feel guilty about that. However, if it's somebody who loves you and is an important part of your life, make another time, you know, like right after the week after Christmas and in between New Year's is great for catching up all those stray family members and friends that you couldn't see before the holidays. Or, you know, just do something around that time of year. But if you want that Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to yourself, take it.
How does that strike you, Sandra?
A lot of people struggle with that because they feel it's selfish. And it is a day of thanks and family. So you kind of want to reach out and do it. But I'm thinking, I just kind of wanted to warn people that it's okay to say no, like you said, if it's polite. I kind of explained my reasoning. Luckily, she was okay. I could tell she was frustrated, but she was okay with it. And I did offer suggestions. So I'm hoping that over time it'll be good and everybody could come together. But I know a lot of people, when it's fresh, they are very nervous to do that, and they think it might harm the situation. But you do have to make sure you take care of yourself so you could, you know.
Yeah.
No, no, that's very true. And it's not like you're going to be this quote-unquote selfish every year, you know. So people out there, listen to what Sandra said. Don't invite yourselves over.
And also, we'll talk about this when we come back, but that gives us a clue about how to treat the divorced person if they're giving us all the signals that they would like to be alone.
Yes.
During this period. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. Rose Sweet is our guest. We're talking divorce, kids, and the holidays. We'll have more of that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic answers, live.
Looking for a solid and dependable Catholic radio station in your area? One that's uplifting and authoritative? A trustworthy tool for the new evangelization? God may be calling you to a mission in Catholic radio. Find out how you can start a Catholic radio station where you live, powered by the truth of the Church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming.
Contact me, Jack Williams, at 205-795-5756 or jwilliams@ewtn.com.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
All right, I like this music. We can keep this one. I like this. This is good comeback music. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and I do not want to neglect to remind you that we're giving away Jimmy Akin free, not the man, but the talk, what the Reformation was all about, Jimmy Akin's most recent talk at our national conference. We're giving that an MP3 of that talk away free. You just go to catholic.com/radio club to sign up, and then you're a member of the radio club, and you get our weekly newsletter. And when new MP3s, free MP3s come along, we send you those as well. So radio club is fun, and it's easy, and it doesn't cost you anything, and we try really hard not to bug you. Just go to catholic.com/radio club. I don't know if that's really salesmanship when you're selling it as we try not to bug you. You're a radio club member?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth it. It's great.
And did you get the free DVD, What the Reformation Was All About? Or maybe you probably didn't know this, but if once you're a radio club member, you can have them for free.
I know.
You don't have to. But
I know. But like I have all that stuff already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You were there at the conference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forgot. You were sitting right there when Jimmy gave this talk. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry to put you on the spot like that. I was going to be like, what? You don't like Jimmy Akin? But no.
I love Jimmy Akin.
I know. Who doesn't? Well, I wonder. Let me think. Who doesn't? Probably Moriarty. Katie in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, listening on 88.5. You are on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Oh, hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am calling as a spouse of an adult child of divorce.
Mm.
And just to kind of give you a little bit of background, so my husband's parents just got divorced, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. But just prior leading up to that, his grandmother had passed away. And his family was very, very close. And his grandma was basically the glue that held everyone together. So shortly after that, his parents ended up getting a divorce. And I would honestly say since then, the family has basically fallen apart. So it's really, and for my husband, he's very, very sensitive. He's always, he's kind of the one that tries to hold things together for his family, but unfortunately, just the dynamics of everything that's at play makes it very challenging. So as a spouse trying to, you know, provide support, and I have my own frustrations with it all too, just like kind of some advice to navigate these murky waters during the holidays.
Katie, that's a great question. Your husband is carrying a cross, and I'm thinking about when Jesus was carrying his cross, there were two people who helped him that we know about, and that was Simon and Veronica. And Veronica kind of just dabbed his face, right, the kind of the gentle help. Simon did some heavy lifting to help. So why don't you go to your husband and ask him, honey, what do you need at this time of year? How are you feeling, and how can I be Simon or Veronica to you? How can I be gentle with you, or how can I help you with a heavy part of this cross? So engage him in the discussion, because I can't really tell you. He might want you to do nothing, but he might have something specific in mind. So he's the best one to ask. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, and you know what? I'm going to pray for you guys. It's horrible, isn't it?
Okay, thank you. Yes, it is. And it's honestly, I don't think it's any easier as a child or an adult. It's really, really challenging.
Katie, ask your husband to bring him, maybe bring a little present or a box and say, honey, here's a box. Let's think outside the box this year. Let's do something or consider something that we never would, that would be very pleasing to you, very freeing or whatever, and see what ensues in that conversation.
Okay, Katie?
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and we will keep you in our prayers, Katie. Thanks very much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH is our number if you'd like to speak with Rose Sweet about kids, divorce, and the holidays. We would be happy to take your call. We go now to Paul in Pennsylvania listening on EWTN. Paul, you are on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Yes, hi. My question is, what if you're the spouse? What if your spouse has primary custody of the children, and you normally take them to Mass every Sunday, but on Christmas, the spouse that has primary custody doesn't want you to take them to Mass so that they can sit at home and open up their presents?
Well, Paul, it's not fair, is it? But it's pretty clear, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God. If you're, if the other parent has legal primary custody, you can't force them to release the children, even for the best thing like going to Mass. And that's a cross for you to bear. But again, well, like we talked with the previous caller, think outside the box and find out, you know, can you take them to Christmas Eve Mass or a later Mass or... you know, usually Christmas decorations and baby Jesus in the creche is in front of the altar till, you know, after Christmas. So it's not the same, I know, but you're going to have to carry this cross. And this is what Scripture tells us. We have to actually thank God for that. We have to thank God for the horrible things we have to deal with in divorce. Because through it, if we'll trust Him, He's going to bring something beautiful out of it. I don't know how that's going to work for you, but I believe it.
Paul, is that helpful to you?
Yes. Yes. I mean, usually I do get to the Mass, but a lot of times there's arguing just to get them there. When every other Sunday, it's, you know, I get them every weekend and there's not a problem, but it also happens with holy days of obligation. And then I kind of, especially my younger children, I think it makes them feel awkward then because, like, you know, they have to go to Mass every Sunday, but then on holy days of obligation, you know, their mother doesn't see that it's important. And it just, the older that they get, it seems, you know, the more and more they get away with without things, and it seems like they're, even though they're, some of them are kind of young now that they're already falling away from the faith that they had.
And this is exactly part of the problem, the horrible problem of divorce. But sometimes even families who are civilly intact marriage-wise, they still have this division between the parents, and it's a horrible thing. The best thing and the only thing that you can do, it really is, you know, do the right thing, call the children to do the right thing, and explain to them at age-appropriate levels why we go to Mass and why we have holy days of obligation and why it's so important, and help them see from you the love and joy and excitement that you have going, let's say, the Feast of Our Blessed Mother on January 1st. Why do we go to Mass? You know, she's beautiful. She loves us. She has all these graces for us, and we want to go and honor her. So I think talking to your kids about these things, not just making them do the actions, sometimes can help. Does that make sense, Paul?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So teach. Be a good teacher.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks very much for your call. 888-31-TRUTH, our number. Rose Sweet, our guest. We're talking the kids, holidays, and divorce. And we go now to Anonymous in Missouri. Anonymous, you are on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the call. My question has to do with epigenetics and the Book of Kings, where it says that future generations will be cursed. You know, basically, if we sin today, that future generations are cursed. But, and the epigenetics basically shows this this science to back this statement up. But it also shows that there's some actions that we could take ourselves to affect not only our future life, it's going to be harder for us, but that it'll also affect our future generations. And I was just wondering if the speaker could talk about, you know, the role of how we could, even though we may be cursed from the generations that have preceded us, and talk about maybe in the family whenever we're all together, or maybe throughout the year, but what are some of the sins of the past that we now find ourselves dealing with, some of the sins of the past, but then more importantly, how do we take those sins of the past and try to do something different, and, you know, maybe think about it and talk about it and say what could we do different, you know, looking at the generations that have passed.
All right, Anonymous, yeah. Let's let Rose address that.
You know, that's a good point. And in reality, our whole faith and all of us are under the original curse. We've all been born with this curse. And the beautiful promise of God is that he's there, especially through his church, to help us overcome that curse. And by learning and educating, and instead of, you know, doing the same old thing that will earn hell for us, we can change what we're doing. We can create a better life. We can develop virtue. We can do that in ourselves and then pass it on to our children. So it is an intentional thing. Divorce is a curse, and it doesn't need to be necessarily be passed on to next generations. But it takes intentionality, prayer, sacrifice, fasting, and educating yourself. And I wouldn't address this during the holidays, that's for sure, because that'll go over like a lead balloon. But you're so important. You're so right, Anonymous. This is very important that families do sit down and talk about, we're going to break this curse.
So say a little more, if you would, about why not to broach this at the holidays.
Well, there's an appropriate time and place to talk about everything. And the holidays, when the kids are all sitting around and grandma's there, you don't want to start talking about generational curses. You know, but I don't want to make fun of that, because that's a real thing.
Yeah.
That's just common sense. So it does need to be addressed. And so right. I'm glad the caller called in. We need to stop after the holidays. That's, you know, when you're getting a fresh new start. Go, okay, Lord, this new year, how can our family talk about this and do changes so that our children aren't divorced, you know, and those around us?
Anonymous, thank you for that call. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
I met my husband in my first year of college. We both came from strong Catholic families and wanted lots of children. After 3 years of marriage and still not pregnant, we felt our dream of a big family slipping away. My sister encouraged us to visit our local Catholic store and get a novena to St. Gerard. When we arrived, we were unsure about our need, but the staff was kind and helpful. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. They encouraged us to pray and trust in God's providence. One worker told us stories of other couples, just like us, who were desperate to start a family. 4 years and two children later, we have been back to that incredible Catholic store for baby, baptism, and toddler gifts. God bless the staff at that incredible Catholic store. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
888-318-7884, our number if you would like to talk about kids, divorce, and the holidays with Rose Sweet. And Rose, you were telling me a little earlier about three little things that kind of help you when you went through divorce and the holidays.
You know, I'm always telling people, look to Jesus, and I have to do the same thing myself. And I always think, okay, this is what, if you don't know what to do at the holidays, should I go to the party? Should I do this? Should I do that? Here's what Jesus did. Sometimes he showed up. Sometimes he slipped away. And he actually hid. But most of the time, all the time, he sacrificed. So show up, slip away, sacrifice. Those three things that start with S kind of help me remember. Sometimes I may be just completely drained and I have to slip away, just like Jesus did. But that means I don't slip away to the mall. I slip away to go be with the Father like Jesus did and to open myself up and be refilled with his love. And then sometimes I just show up. And even though I don't feel like it, I show up for a greater cause, for the good of the kids or the good of somebody else. But always, if you don't know what to do, go ahead and take the sacrifice. It's never wrong to err on that side.
Yeah, and that's striking because it's so emotional, the holidays and all that, but the law of love doesn't change. We are called to carry our cross, and sometimes another family member is the wood of the cross, and sometimes a certain discussion that we know is going to come up
is the crown of thorns.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm just thinking, Jesus came into this world in a wooden manger. So he came in on wood and he left on wood. And the wood of the cross, we in our faith, we can't get rid of that cross.
No, right.
In fact, St. Rose of Lima said the only ladder whereby we get to heaven is the cross.
Yeah.
So the Christmas is going to have crosses.
Yep, indeed. Adriana in Los Angeles, California, listening on Relevant Radio. You are on with Rose Sweet. Adriana, did I say sweet right, or did that come out wrong? It sounded funny. Sorry,
yes,
Adriana.
Adriana. Good, thank you. Thank you both for taking my call. My question, I guess, is we used to be very close with my family. In fact, I would joke with my husband that I got married, you know, to be on my own, and we're always back at my parents. But unfortunately, last year, my sister and him had a discussion. It was a disagreement, and apparently my husband didn't like what she had to say. I was pregnant, so they didn't want to involve me. I ended up finding out anyway. And so now he refuses to go to my parents' house, pretty much just doesn't want to go because my sister will be there. If we happen to be somewhere where my sister is, he's kind of not nice in the sense that
he just won't even address her. And I, you know, it makes me sad and mad. And with the holidays approaching, I don't know if I should just say, well, let's just have Thanksgiving and Christmas at home, and I'll pick a different day to go with my family, even though I think that's unfair. But I don't want to fight with my husband and bring my own family down either. So I feel very torn.
Adriana, Christmas drama. It happens every year, doesn't it? In almost every family. I'm sorry that that's happening, but it's not unusual. And here are the principles that we know. You know, we're supposed to leave our parents and cling to our spouse. And that means that your spouse has priority in your heart and your behaviors. So I would, if it were my husband, I would sit down one more time and say, honey, is there some way we can work it out this year? Is there a way that you can go and kind of just pretend she's not there or pray? Can you do that? And if he says, I'll try, then great. If he says, nope, I'm not going to, then you have to accept that without nagging him. And then you go into your room and close the door and get on your knees and you pray for your husband. Remember, there is such power when a wife prays for her husband. So pray and sacrifice for him. And don't worry, because the holidays come every year. So if this one isn't perfect, it's going to be okay.
Adriana?
Yes, okay. I will do that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Appreciate that call very much, Adriana. I've been married a long time now, and I had forgotten this, but we come into marriage with different experiences of birthdays, holidays, and we have to somehow create our own traditions, and that can sometimes be painful. You always did it this way, and my family always did it this way, and my attitude was always clearly my family was right. I don't know, was that the right way to go about that, Rose?
It is. It's like somebody come into your closet and go, okay, you have to get rid of that blouse that you've loved for 25 years. You know, no, why? You know,
right?
But that's part of marriage, and it's actually part of our spiritual formation and helping us to let go of the things that we cling to too tightly for the greater good of another person.
We go now to Tom in San Antonio, Texas, listening on KJMA. Tom, you are on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Well, I basically wanted to say, first of all, thank you, Rose, for your sound advice that you give people. I went through a divorce 7 years ago, and my wife decided that the marriage was over and I had to leave. Mm-hmm. But my son, I was allowed to baptize him Catholic as my wife wasn't. And that was the bond that got mm-hmm. both of us through that whole ordeal mm-hmm. because we had our faith together. And even with the divorce, I still get him for Mass every day, every Sunday, mm-hmm. regardless mm-hmm. of whether it's my time to have him or not. Mm-hmm. And it was, we had already established the every other holiday thing. So when it happened, we didn't have to split at Christmas.
Wonderful.
And that was absolutely wonderful. And now, you know, it's okay. Of course, it was harder when he was younger, and I had to put gifts from Santa. But now he's older, and so it's no big deal. We can have Christmas 3 days before, 3 days
Wait,
after.
You just ruined it for every child listening.
Well, I think your family might be confused there, Tom. But
yeah, we might, but you know what? It works for us.
Yeah. No, there are some things we never say on the radio, even though the FCC allows it.
Let's put it this way. I don't have to have a separate roll of paper, of wrapping paper, that's from Anonymous.
So was it difficult for you, Tom, this idea that you had to, on Christmas, let go of your son completely sometimes, just let him be with your wife?
It tore me to pieces. You know, when you think for the first 6 years of his life, I was there every day, and to give up 1 second, it just crushed my heart.
But are you happy now that you did it?
Well, I don't believe in divorce. I never dreamed I'd be here.
No, I don't mean the divorce.
Letting her have the full Christmas thing.
Well, I mean, you know, there had to be some give and take. And that was, you know, I had no choice in that matter. I couldn't take. I have joint custody. So I knew I could get him. And I knew I'd get him every Sunday for church. So, you know, we had already split up. 1 year it was with her family, 1 year it was with mine. So when it was with hers, he just went with hers.
Right.
And it seemed very natural, and it seemed very okay. It made it easy to accept.
Mm-hmm.
But to be a away from your child on Christmas Day or any holiday or something like that, it's very hard.
Yeah.
It's hard even when you're older and they're grown up and they all can't come home for Christmas. You still miss them. Still wish they were 8 years old, you know.
I have that experience now with my young adult children.
Yeah.
Really? Wait, what? 888-318-7884, our number. Remember, next hour, open forum, pro-life open forum with Dr. George Delgado. This hour, we have Rose Sweet with us, and we're talking kids, divorce, and the holidays. We go now to, well, first of all, I should say thank you, Tom, for that call. I don't know if I thanked you for it. Rachel in Maryland, listening on EWTN, you're on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have kind of a complicated situation. We have a close family member who 2 years ago, she left her marriage, and her husband very much wanted to work on the marriage. And when she left under the guise of just needing some space. And then 2 years later, 2 months later, she ended up moving in with her boyfriend, who was also married to a woman who had left him. And he has two kids, and it's been 2 years now, and they're both seeking divorces. And the sister-in-law actually resents his children and the money that he has to spend on them. And it makes the holidays very difficult and all the situations where we have a family get together very difficult because of how they got together, because of the adultery. It's very difficult to see them together, to be affectionate. And my husband and I really, we don't really know how to handle the situation. I mean, we've been kind of handling it for 2 years, but we don't really know what we should be doing. It almost feels like we're condoning it by being there all the time.
Yeah, you know, that is an element that you want to think about. I was in a similar situation, and the way I decided to handle it was I talked to the people privately outside of the family event. And I said, I know we're all going to be here, and everybody's going to be going, yay, yay, this is all wonderful, but I need to tell you for my own conscience, I love you very much. But I can't stand what you've chosen to do. It's horrible, horrible, horrible. That doesn't mean I don't love you. And I don't know. I didn't know how to say it any better. And the person was really polite and said thank you and never spoke to me again. But you know what? I never regretted that. And then I went to the family event and I had a good time. But it was like our Lord knew that I had done my best to say I don't condone this, but I love you.
How do you feel about that, Rachel?
I actually like that approach a lot. I've been praying about this a lot. I've talked to other people, but I think this is the best approach that I've heard. And so I'm really glad I called in.
Yeah, you know, because then when you go to the party, that burden is off, man. Then you have a good time.
You can,
yeah, you're right.
You can be at your ease a little more.
Exactly.
Yeah. And shunning, I think sometimes we have the idea that we do our Christian duty when we're shunning those who are living sinful lives and all that. And that is not a very Jesus-like strategy in most cases.
Well,
certainly in some cases.
Shunning should be an action to help the person move toward heaven, to move back to the right behavior, right? It shouldn't be shaming. So there's other ways of helping the person get back on track than shunning. Shunning usually is done like, I'm superior to you. And
Right. But do you get the feeling, as I do, as social mores have changed so much in the last 30, 40, 50 years, a Christian person, a Catholic person, is not always sure what situation is it all right for me to go into and what is not?
That's what we said earlier. Look to Jesus. Sometimes he showed up, sometimes he slipped away, but he always sacrificed. Look to the catechism. The answers are in there.
Thanks so much for joining us. Rose Sweet, thank you very, very much for a fine
hour.
That
went so quickly.
RoseSweet.com is where people can find you.
And
you're going to be in Pennsylvania this week.
No. I have 10 tips to surviving the holidays on my website.
Oh.
It's under Sweet Talk, which is my blog. 10
okay.
tips.
You and your name.
I know.
RoseSweet.com. Was I right that you're going to be in Pennsylvania? Are you going?
Yeah. I'm going to Philly this Saturday.
Nice. I was born there, you know.
You were?
Yep. But other good things come out of Philly. Don't worry.
Cheesesteak.
Oh, and have a pretzel. All right, we'll be right back after this with Dr. George Delgado, Pro-Life Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live when we come back.